We're going to be learning. Reb Shlomo, are you here? You okay, Reb Shlomo? You here? Okay, good. I'm going to jump ahead just to quote some sefer that a little further below that's relevant right now. Don't hear? Okay. Chassam Sofer says, this is kind of more of a preface before we start. The Chassam Sofer says that one of the big challenges of tefillah is, on the one hand, tefillah often comes with a feeling of sadness, need. You're begging Hashem because you have tzaras, or because you're concerned about Klal Yisrael's tzaras. While on the other hand, the only way tefillah really works is the simcha. And he says that that's actually part, we'll see when we get there, that it's part of the idea of the tefillah, of opening our tefillah with the tefillah of Hashem Sefos HaTiftach. We're asking Hashem to help us manage to get the right blend of feelings. We can't get away from that tonight. Tonight, we have to be learning Besimcha, and we have to be learning also with a consciousness of what's going on around us. Three families, maybe four, over the last hour and a half, I understand, lost loved ones. The people who they lost are fine. The Rambam says that a person who dies because he's a Jew goes to the highest of places. Malis HaKadoshim HaTovim. But there are three families who we tend to think that there's a species called terror victims. And it's not people like us, because we're not terror victims. But a week ago, these three families were mamish in the same situation as us. They were as remote of being a family of terror victims as we are. And they thought that in a week they would be the same way we think so. And now, they are where they are. So we have to take it very personally. This is not current events. Let's not relegate it to current events. It's not politics. It's hurting with Klal Yisrael. We have to feel what's going on here. And we have to be afraid. We have to be afraid in the sense, we have to have the fear in perspective. There's two different sorts of fear. This is just also a very fundamental understanding of the whole concept of Yiras HaOinesh. Scared of Gehenna. There's a difference between a kid who, let's say, is lost in a foreign land, there's no idea what's going to be with him, if he's going to be attacked or what. He fears the worst. Then there's a kid who's at home, but he did something bad, he knows that he might be getting in trouble. Both kids are scared, but it's different types of fears. There's a hopeless fear. You can fear the worst. You have no idea what on earth is going to happen. And then there's a secure fear. You're scared. You don't know what's going to be. But you know that at the end of the day you're in good hands, and it's really an issue of managing to react to the situation right. You have to realize at the end of the day this is Hashem. And this is a message from Hashem. And we have to just say, well, we have bitachon that everything will be okay, would be misplaced in this situation. Because if Hashem is giving a message, he's saying, no, I am taking certain measures here. And it's a message to all of Klal Yisrael. It's not a message to Kiryat Malachi. I'll put it this way, message to Kiryat Malachi, the message to the five towns, but exactly those two towns that needed messages? Or is Hashem showing that Jews can be anywhere and it can be different causes? At the end of the day, it's all Hashem. So, again, this is not politics, it's not current events, it's an issue of us waking up to Hashem's call, and also very much an issue of just being mishtatif in the Tzar of Klal Yisrael. Realizing that we're all in a painful situation now. We all lost three loved ones. Let's dedicate tonight's learning. Le'ilui Nishmas V'Kedoshim. I heard the first names. I didn't get yet the names of the of the fathers, of the what the fathers' names are. There's a Aaron and a Yitzchak and a Mira. But what we can tell ourselves now is that by starting to learn now, we're not just bringing ourselves closer to where we need to be in order to regain Hashem's favor or to enhance Hashem's favor, but we're actually connecting all of Klal Yisrael. So we'll do that with a sense of optimism. So let's start at Abdallah Damadallah, down at the bottom. Second line from the bottom, Chachamim Aymer Mad Chatzois. Back to the Mishnah. Long time ago we learned that there are three opinions about Zman Kriya Shema, when the deadline for Kriya Shema is. There is, Rabbi Eliezer says, a third into the night. The Chacham say midnight. Rabbi Gamliel says morning. Now, we have to understand the rationale for these opinions. We already touched on this earlier. The Torah says, you say Kriya Shema, the time for Kriya Shema is when you lie down. That could be understood in two ways. Either it means at the time that people go to sleep, which means the beginning of the night, or it means the time that people sleep, which means all night. So if so, we can understand the two extreme opinions. Rabbi Eliezer construes b'shach b'chot to mean when people go to sleep, so it's the beginning of the night. Rabbi Gamliel construes b'shach b'chot to mean when people sleep, so it's all night. But the Chachamim fall between the cracks. That's what we're going to be dealing with now. The Chachamim say midnight. Midnight is what they call in Yiddish nishtahin nishtaher. It's not the beginning of the night, it's not all night, it's just something in the middle. How are we supposed to understand this? What? David HaMelech was the beginning of the day, right? Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks this question. There are clearly only two understandings in B'shach B'chatz, either Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Gamliel. What's with the Chachamim? So Chachamim Kiman Svirluh. What do the Chachamim hold? Iker Rabbi Eliezer Svirluh. If they agree with Rabbi Eliezer's understanding that B'shach B'chatz means when people go to sleep, Leim Rukir Rabbi Eliezer, they should say like Rabbi Eliezer said, Zman Kriya Shema is until the first third of the night. Ve'ikir Rabbi Gamliel Svirulu, and if they hold like Rabbi Gamliel holds, that it means when people sleep, which is all night, Leimukir Rabbi Gamliel. Let them say like Rabbi Gamliel said, all night. Where does midnight come in? And the Gemara answers, La'oilam Kir Rabbi Gamliel Svirulu. They agree with Rabbi Gamliel that essentially the pasuk means you can recite Kriya Shema all night till the morning. The Hodika Amri Ad Chatzos. Yet the reason that they limit it to Chatzos is, as we've already discussed, Kedei Laharchik Es HaAdam Min HaAveira, in order to distance people from the Aveira, meaning the person will wait till the last minute, might end up missing the time. And therefore the Chachamim moved up the last minute in order to create what they call a security zone. Kedetanya, as we find this concept in the following braisa. Chachamim asu siyog ledivrayim. The Chachamim created a fence. They don't want you getting too close to the danger zone. Kedei shelo yehei adam bo min hasadeh. They don't want a person coming home from the field, meaning you come home from work, Be'erev, comes home from work in the evening, Ve'oimer, he says, alright, it's been a rough day, it's been a long day, Eilech Lebesi, first I'll go, I know I have my Rebbe ahead of me, but first I'll go home, Ve'oichal Kima, I'll eat some, Ve'eshte Kima, I'll drink some, Ve'ishan Kima, I'll also have a little nap. That's dangerous, come home exhausted. At the end of a rough day, and you go in for a little nap, that's dangerous. Then I'll get up and I'll say Kriya Shema and I'll daven. Then what will often happen? Sleep will overcome him. V'nimtza yoshen kol ha'layla. He'll end up sleeping the whole night. So, they didn't allow that. Aval adam b'min ha'sodeh. Rather, when you come home from the field, adam b'min ha'sodeh b'erev, person comes home from the field at night, come home from work, nichnas l'beis ha'knesses. Your first stop is shul. Im rogi likrois kairei. If you're a person who learns Tanakh, learn some Tanakh. Im rogi lishnois shoine. If you learn Teru Shabbal Peh, you learn Mishnayis, you learn Gemara, learn some of that. V'kairei kriya shma u'mispalo. Then you daven. You say kriya shma, you daven. V'oichel pitoi. Then you can go home and enjoy a well-earned supper. Go home, you eat your bread, umevarech, and you bench. That's the way to do it. V'kolo oiver al divrei chachamim. And now the chachamim throw in a sharp admonition. Anybody who doesn't listen to this, anybody who transgresses what the chachamim say, chayiv misa, he's deserving of death. Okay? So the chachamim are very strong about this.
Face of it, I mean, it sounds like a strange havamina. Like it doesn't fit their shita with their svara, because first of all, the time of midnight, the mela. Like if you're worried about them going to sleep, then you should do it until Rabbi Lezer's time, because that's when they need to go to sleep. If it's the issue that you should come home right away, so it should be maybe only an hour, and then you should do it.
Good. Okay. So Yaakov is asking a very obvious question here in the Gemara. We're saying, well, the Chachamim want them to create a security zone, so they said the deadline is midnight. Where do we see that? Because the Braisa says, as soon as you get home from work, go straight to the shul and daven. Straight to shul and daven, you have till midnight. What's going on here? The Braisa is saying very strongly, if you transgress this, you're deserving of death. Transgress what? This Braisa didn't say anything about midnight. It said if you daven Ma'ariv at 10, if you daven Ma'ariv at 9. What's going on here in this Braisa? So the truth is that the Rishonim struggle with this and come up with some very interesting halachic conclusions. First of all, let's note something. This Braisa, even though the Gemara cited it in the context of the deadline being midnight, this Braisa said nothing about midnight. This Braisa said one thing. You come home, you go to shul, you daven, and you eat. Okay. So first of all, the way the Rashba explains this is that actually this Braisa is actually presenting a different halacha. It's not talking about midnight at all. It might not even be that shita. It's just illustrating the idea that the Chachamim will impose fences in order to keep you from falling into an Avera. And here they're actually saying a different halacha. They're saying that you are not allowed to eat before davening Ma'ariv. That's all this Braisa is saying. It's got nothing to do with the time for Ma'ariv. Come home, before eating supper, you go to shul and daven. So it's a different halacha is being introduced here. That's what Tosfos up here on the top says. Kari kriya shma u'mispalo. Tosfos says, mikan mashma, he says, from this braisa we see that shemisho'a shigia zman kriya shma shalayla, that from the time that the kriya shma of the evening comes, she'ein lo lecho su'da chikur kriya shma v'yispalo arvis. You're not allowed to eat a meal until you daven. See, right? That basically answers your question. This is a different halacha being stated here. That's number one.
Wouldn't he be allowed to eat? If he didn't daven right after
Oh. So basically what's coming out of this is, you want to wait till Chatzos? Wait till Chatzos. That's how the Rashba says it. But don't eat. So let's put those rogalach away. I didn't have a marriage yet. So, okay. So first of all, there are generally two understandings here in the region of what comes out here, and both have very big importance in halacha lemaisa. Let's first go with what we started. This is the Rashba's approach. And this is all going to find its place in Shulchan Aruch. relevant to us on a daily basis. Yes, the Braisa is saying, you want to daven, you want to say Kriya Shema later, say Kriya Shema later, but don't eat supper first. Does this mean that you can't have a bite? No. It's not what it means. It means that you cannot eat a proper meal. That is halacha lemaisa. You're not allowed to have a proper meal, meaning you're not allowed to have a bread meal of more than a kibbeitza. Kibbeitza is about two-thirds of a slice of bread. Meaning if you need to sit down for a proper supper, you're not allowed to have a sandwich before Meirut. So that's halacha lemaisa. Yes. You're not allowed to sit down for a proper meal before Meirut, unless, we'll get to the unless. But first, it's important to know that, yes, that is halacha lemaisa. Now, there are a couple of qualifications. So first of all, again, you're allowed to eat things outside of a bread meal. Okay, you can eat and drink, etc. But you can't have a bread meal. Now, there are a couple of things you can do to have a bread meal before Meirut. The best thing to do is to daven Meirut first, to daven, now you can go home and eat comfortably. But there are a couple of things you could do, but it's very important to know this. People aren't aware of this. People are transgressing this halacha, and this Bryce expresses it very sharply about this halacha. Anyone who transgresses what the Chachamim say is Chayiv Nisa. You can designate somebody to remind you. That's the most famous and classic Eitzah. If you have somebody reminding you to remember, make sure he'll make sure to remind you to daven Meirut afterwards, you can eat your meal. What's that? Oh, so the Shlomo Zalman says that an alarm clock can work too. But you have to remember to do that. When you sit down to eat supper, you have to either have somebody who's going to remind you to daven, or you have to set an alarm clock. And once it rings, or once that person reminds you, you must go daven immediately.
If people eat supper at 6:30 at night, and they kind of go to Meirut at 8 o'clock.
What's that? If it's already after dark, you must either have somebody who's going to remind you Meirut, or daven Meirut first. That's the best idea, it's the smoothest. But otherwise, yes. Set an alarm clock for 7:45. That's the Eitzah. But otherwise, yes, this is halacha lemaisa. To just sit down for a bread meal without someone or somebody, something or someone reminding you is awesome. That's clear-cut nalacha. It's surprising, but that's clear-cut nalacha. So either you have to designate somebody to remind you, or you have to set an alarm clock for 7:45, if that's when you want to daven. Oh, another thing that the place can say is that if you daven at a regular time every day, that's also good enough. You every day, it's part of your schedule, you go to Meirut at 8, that's also good enough. That also will help. If you regularly daven at a set minyan, that's okay. But if it's one day this time, one day that time, it's not so good.
The issue is the whole Meirut, or is the issue just the issue?
That's a good question. There seem to be different approaches among the poskim on that. No. I'm sorry. I backtrack. No, the issue is Meirut too. I got mixed up. The issue is definitely Meirut. Said about Meirut and about Kriya Shema. Said something? Yeah, Tefillah also. Right. We'll address that. The truth is, the question you're asking is relevant a little later. What do we paskin lemaisa? Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that lechatchila you should say Kriya Shema before Chatzos. Lechatchila, yeah. But we're going to. It's an in-depth discussion that we'll get to a bit later. How can the Chachamim add a Chayiv Nisa? Okay. We'll get to that first. I just want to finish with this point. So that's very important to realize halacha lemaisa. So, if so, what we're coming out here is that you have two options if you do want to eat a bread meal before Meirut. Either you have to have someone or something reminding you, a person or an alarm clock, or if you have a set minyan, you're okay. But if not, then this is relevant. Otherwise, yes, you're not allowed to wash. You have to make sure of daven Ma'ariv first. No, bread. A bread meal. Right. Yeah. That's how the Chachamim set it up. In earlier times, there wasn't really such a thing as a normal meal without bread. But that's how the Chachamim set it up.
What if the circumstance effectively reminds you that it's not... Let's say your wife always asks you, what are you doing tonight? What time are you going out? And you always remember what I'm going to go to tomorrow. She's not consciously sitting there reminding you to go tomorrow. She's always asking.
If there... The Paiskim do talk about situations where a person will inevitably remember. I'm not sure about your case per se. I'm not sure. It's good to tell her to actually remind you. Although, I'll note something. This is also an important point that the Paiskim bring out. When you have somebody remind you, it either has to be someone who's not eating with you, or someone who also needs to daven Ma'ariv. For example, the Paiskim say, if a bunch of people sit down for a meal together, now this is also a big opening. If a bunch of people sit down for a meal together before Ma'ariv, not all of them are going to forget. If you have more than one person who didn't yet daven Ma'ariv, that's okay. But your wife is not going to help for that because she is not davening Ma'ariv. So, it should be either somebody who yet has to daven Ma'ariv, or somebody who's not eating with you. Then your wife can do also, and even an intelligent kid will do. If it's someone who's not eating with you. Okay. Now, that's approach number one. This is the Rashba. Everything we said now is brought down Halacha L'maaseh, Shulchan Aruch. Well, what comes out basically is that he's saying that this Bais is not telling you that you have to daven immediately. All it's saying is that if you want to eat, you have to daven immediately. But if you want to delay Ma'ariv and delay supper, that's okay. Rabbeinu Yoina says, no, this price is actually saying, and you have to daven Ma'ariv immediately. The Chatchila, a person must daven Ma'ariv immediately. Aye, what's with the Chatzos? Chatzos is b'di'evet. That's what Rabbeinu Yoina says. But the Chatchila, a person has to daven Ma'ariv immediately. And surprisingly, and this is even less known, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that too. The Chatchila, a person should daven Ma'ariv at the first possible opportunity. Here I'll note though that the way the place can take it, there's lechatchila and there's lechatchila. Generally when we say lechatchila, it means this is what you're mechuyev to do. Just if you didn't, b'di'eved, it's okay. But the place can take this in a lighter sense. They say, it's a good thing, it's recommended to daven Ma'ariv immediately. It's reason magdimin lemitzvus. That's how the Mishnah Berurah puts it down. But therefore, for example, it doesn't work for you for whatever reason. It's not like other things that there's a chiyuv. You have to do it. But yeah. So therefore, if we'll sum it up, bottom line, it's good to daven Ma'ariv at the first possible opportunity, like this Bryce says. It's good to, but that's not a chiyuv, the way the Mishnah Berurah presents it. What is a chiyuv? Is to avoid a bread meal before Ma'ariv, unless you fulfilled one of the conditions that we mentioned. And also, let's note, a nap. A nap is absolutely usur once the time for Ma'ariv comes. You're not allowed to take a nap. Again, if you have somebody waking you up, it's okay. Here, Reb Shlomo Zalman says not to rely on an alarm clock, for very obvious reasons. Anybody with a little bit of experience can, right? You hit the thing, we do that even in the morning. So, you hit the snooze button or the off button and that's that. So, Shlomo Zalman says, for eating you can rely on an alarm clock, for a nap not. So, to have a nap once night is hit is usur, unless you have a person who's going to shake you out of bed. Okay. Now, one other point just to mention. The place can give this price a lot of attention. They come up with a lot of halacha l'maaseh. The price has said, when you come home, go into shul, sit down and learn a little bit, and then daven Ma'ariv. Now again, this Bryce is telling us halacha l'maaseh. The Bryce is not telling us that it's a good idea to learn if you have some extra time. What's the halacha being stated here? That what? Meaning what?
When you're gathering the food, you have to learn.
Ah, so that close. One thing. What? That's also true, but is there a chiyuv to do that immediately when you get home before Ma'ariv? Right, that's what Rav Yitzchak is saying. Is there a chiyuv to do that immediately when you get home? So you're saying maybe yeah. So the truth is that here also the place can come away with two points from this, both of which are halacha lemaisa. First of all, the way Rabbi Niyana takes this is very interesting. He says, you know what this price is implying? The price is implying that even if you come home too early for Ma'ariv, you still can't eat. It's too early? Learn a little bit. Now what does this mean? I get home at 2 in the afternoon, I can't have lunch because Ma'ariv is coming up in 4 hours? So the Shulchan Aruch basically extrapolates from other such halachas where it's half hour before. And therefore, yes, the way the Shulchan Aruch puts it down, halacha l'maisa, is that's what this price is signifying here. If you come home, even if it's a little too early for Ma'ariv, it's within a half hour of Ma'ariv, you still can't eat supper. From half hour before Ma'ariv, you can't eat supper. Wait till Ma'ariv time. What should I do? Open a sefer. That's what the Brisa is saying. So therefore, we have to add another point to the halacha l'maisa we just said. Not just that you can't eat bread from night time, but from half hour before night time, you can't begin a bread meal. Okay. Now, this is important. Well, it's questionable whether it's important to keep this in mind when you're making early Shabbos. You know that you were not really yotze your chiyuv for Kriyas Shema. You have to repeat Kriyas Shema afterwards, right? When do you get home from shul? I basically, my experience is that I get home from shul at the siren, which is 40 minutes before the actual zman, but just. You still have enough time. You have to take into account that if you get home and you spend a little bit of time getting things together, you might already run into the half hour before this month. Keep it in mind, although I'll say you can keep it in mind in a general way, don't be too nervous about it, because there are poskim that say that once you did Kriya Shvan anyway, you don't have to worry about this. You have to repeat it, but you don't have to worry about this. But it's a good thing to keep in mind with Hatchil. Another point that some poskim can bring up is what happens at Shalosh Shudis? Especially if you take a little bit of a chassidish approach and you daven mincha late, sometimes you get home. Also, shkia time, post the shkia, after shkia, a little bit too close for comfort to Ma'ariv time. What's that? Shalosh Shudis. What's that? Oh, so the place can have different approaches. Some place can say, sorry, no Shalosh Shudis. But others say that, no, Lamaisa, we have a chiyuv of Shalosh Shudis, you can rely on it. But here also, it's better to try to avoid getting into this by timing your mincha to begin Shalosh Shudis at least half hour before nightfall. Okay. Lamaisa, you have all this. If this was a lot of confusing details, you have it pretty clear here. Okay. Shalosh Shudis is a chiyuv. There are people who have a minhag of taking it a bit lighter, which has to be explained, but that's not the... I mean, there, if you're part of a tzibur, of a specific kehila that has a minhag of not being so into it for whatever reason, which I don't know, something else. Yeah. I'm talking about not having it. You can't not have it. Shulchan Aruch says, l'chatchila bread, little less l'chatchila zaynis, little less l'chatchila meat and things like that, a little less l'chatchila fruit. Yeah.
Okay.
There is such a concept. The Zohar actually says that about Erev Pesach. When Erev Pesach comes down on Shabbos, there's the famous puzzle about what do you do about Shalosh Shudis. Right? So the Mishnah Berurah comes up with different solutions. Zohar says, then you have Shalosh Shudis on Divrei Torah. Okay, so there is such an approach, but again, if that's not your official minig, the straight way to go is to be makbar on Shalosh Shabbos. Okay. Now, the Chachamim bolstered this with a very strong Kol Ha'Oyver Al Divrei Chachamim Chayev Misa. Anybody who transgresses what the Chachamim say is deserving of death. So, Jonathan already asked,
why?
Yeah, but Chilul Shabbos is Chayev Misa. So the truth is that this is a very famous concept, that yes, the Chachamim say in a few places around Shas, anybody who transgresses a Derabbanan is Chayev Misa. Before we address your question, the Gemara is going to ask a different question. Maishna b'chol duchta d'lektani chayev nisa. Yes, it's a famous concept that a person who takes their abanans lightly is deserving of death. But the Chachamim don't stress that every time we bring up a derabanan. Right? There are billions of derabanans around Shas. And they're not reminding you of that every single time. How come here there was a specific need to remind you? And keep in mind, if you're tempted to have your meal before Meiriv, that Chayev Misa. So the Gemara answers, there are two reasons why it had to be stressed here specifically. Iba Yisema, if you want, you can say, answer number one is Mishun Deike Oines Shena. Because here it's easier to mess up because it's harder to fight sleep. And therefore the Chachamim had to admonish you extra strongly. The Iba Yisema, and another answer is, and this is like we stressed before when you raised the question, part of the point here is not just Kriyas Shema, but Meirin. And the Chachamim want to stress to you that you should know that Meirin carries the full severity of any other Derabbanan, that Chayev Misa, if you transgress what the Chachamim say. Now why does that have to be stressed? Why would you think that Meirin is any worse than other Derabbanan? We'll see later in the Masechta that there's a machloikis where the Meiriv is obligatory at all. Meiriv might be optional. If Meiriv is optional, then you're certainly not Chayiv Misa for eating supper before Meiriv. So therefore, this Braisa stresses, no, we want to preclude that opinion. Kamashmal on the Chayva. When we tell you particulars about Meiriv, know that here also we have the usual death for anybody who transgresses, because Meiriv is an absolute chiyuv. Now, I'll say in a secret that actually we paskin that Meiriv is optional. But wait, David Meiriv tonight. We paskin it in a theoretical way, meaning halacha lemaisa it's an absolute chiyuv. We follow the opinion that says that essentially it's optional, but yet the. It has been accepted, that's the way the Rishonim put it, has been accepted as an absolute chiyuv, and therefore today we treat it as an absolute chiyuv. Yet, there are certain implications of the fact that essentially it's optional. But bottom line, the Gemara here, this price holds. Otherwise, this price is saying that no, you have to realize that Meiriv carries the full severity of any other Derabbanan. Okay, so there are a few points to address here in the Gemara before we move on. First of all, your question. Why is it? Where does this idea come from that anyone who transgresses a derabbanan is chayev misa? But then he only gives three explanations of this. First of all, he says, when we know that there are certain averas that have different punishments, some averas are so severe that they're chayev misa, other averas are not. And we know that transgressing a derabbanan can't be more severe than the least of deraisas. If the least of deraisas carries no punishment, why should derabbanan carry a chiyuv misa? The Ben Yehuda says the chiyuv misa is not for transgressing per se. It's for taking derabbanan lightly. Taking derabbanan lightly is a capital crime. If a person transgresses a deraisa because he messed up, he doesn't have a shita, he doesn't have an attitude, then I don't have to take this too seriously. He messed up. It was a one-time deal. One-time deal doesn't carry a chiyuv misa. But, meaning, if not, there's some averus that carry a chiyuv misa for a one-time deal. Whatever it is, this doesn't. But, derabbanans, so if it's the same thing that a person transgressed a derabbanan one time on a one-time basis because he messed up, okay? Might be the same as deraisas. But often the people who transgress derabbanan, it's because, well, it's only derabbanan anyways. Oh, Rabbi Nehemiah says, if that's the approach, that is a chiyuv visa. If your approach is a chiyuv, the Rabbanon is, it's okay, that's a chiyuv visa. Now, what's the source for that? That already has a source in the Torah. Because we know, the Torah says, the concept of zokein mamre, right, that if a person refuses to bend to the authority of the Sanhedrin, they stoned him, they killed him. Bezdin killed him. So on this level, when a person just refuses to conform to the Rabbanon, they don't actually kill him, but the Misa, Chiyuv Misa Bidei Shomayim is still there. When a person does not accept the authority of the Rabbanon, the Chiyuv Bidei Shomayim, Misa Bidei Shomayim is there. So yes, there is a Chiyuv Misa for a person who has a lesser attitude towards the Rabbanon. It's not because of the transgression of the Rabbanon per se, but it's because of the fact you have a lesser attitude. A lesser attitude means that to not be cursed to a certain extent.
Does that mean that the Rabbanon from the Talmud, or does it mean that the Rabbanon, like, that was one of the posting from nowadays, you know, like, making some kind of statement about that kind of thing?
I'll answer that on two levels. What? We can answer that on two levels. If the Chachamim of a later generation come up with an institution that they deem necessary, it's not called a Chiyuv Derabbanan. It's not called a Chiyuv Derabbanan. Because only the Chazal have the authority of Rabbanan in that sense. Yet, the Chinuch says that the concept of conforming to the Beis Din HaGadol applies to the Chachamim of each generation. And therefore we have a Chiyuv which he defines as one of the, he says it's fundamental to the survival of Judaism. That we be able to realize that if the Torah authorities of any given generation say something, everybody has to conform, because they're the ones who have the sense of the Torah sensitivities. They think that something needs to be implemented in order to avoid ruination. Then people don't feel that they have to conform, it'll take very short time before the Torah will completely disintegrate. So, therefore, on the one hand, no, it's not a derabbanan. On the other hand, yes, we have to comply.
Maybe the derabbanan is inherently somewhat the laisosu also.
Yes. Yeah, the derabbanan always does have that element of laisosu mikola shayrucha of the deraisa. Yes. Okay, that's explanation number one of Rabbeinu Yehuda. I will give all three explanations because all three are important to understand. Explanation number two of Rabbeinu Yehuda is, well, it's kind of go together, but first of all, a person transgresses the Rabbanon, he's less likely to do tshuva. Because, what did I do already? It's only the Rabbanon. Only the Rabbanon is the killer combination of words. Only the Rabbanon. He's less likely to do tshuva. When a person does an aveira and doesn't feel the need to do tshuva, forget it, he's doomed. And also, when a person takes something more lightly, he's likely to transgress it continuously. And that also, Rabbeinu Yehuda says, any aveira transgressed continuously will ultimately be more severe than the most severe of aveiras transgressed on a one-time basis. When a person gives the mashal, right, what the Chachamim say, the mashal of, you take silk threads, which are very, very weak, but you start twining one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other together, ultimately you can support bridges with it. He says when a person takes the smallest details, the smallest mitzvah, there's no such thing as the smallest mitzvah, but a person takes the smallest mitzvah or aveira lightly, ultimately, one transgression after the other will equal Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and murder. That's what Rabbeinu Yehuda says. But then there's a third explanation. This is also very fundamental to understand, just in appreciating what we're doing when we're keeping the Rabbanon. Rabbeinu Yehuda says, forget the Rabbanon Deraisa right now. Forget the issue at hand. Let's say the Chachamim made a geder. You shouldn't eat chicken and meat, milk, because you might come to eat meat and milk. Chicken is not really awesome. Okay? So what's the issue? The issue we're talking about, so to speak, an ordinary lav, right? Rabbeinu Yehuda says there's something more fundamental at stake here. There's a chiyuv of Yiras Shamayim. A chiyuv of Yiras Shamayim. Which means that you have to take Hashem's command seriously. Taking Hashem's command seriously means not being cavalier, is that how you pronounce it? Cavalier about it. Meaning, if a person realizes that the edge of a cliff is a dangerous place to be, he doesn't do a jig right at the edge. Right? If he does, it means that he doesn't realize that there's a cliff there. So Abinyana says, the point here is not so much that you might end up transgressing Basa B'chalas per se. The point is more that you don't see the need to be too careful about it. When the Chachamim came and made their Gedarim, what they were doing is, they're saying, if you want to be able to tell Hashem, I took your command seriously, you keep away at least 2 meters from the edge of the cliff. Right? If you didn't, it's not just that you might have messed up with Basa B'chalas. You're making a statement to Hashem, I take your commands with a chill. That is deserving of death. Again, it might not be the Avera per se, but the fact that your approach is, alright, I don't mind getting too close, that in itself is deserving of death. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah, that's the perspective that Rabbeinu Yonah gives on this. Okay, one more point to bring out before we move on, a very fundamental point that Reb Tzadok says. You're not allowed to eat. What exactly is the concern with eating before Ma'ariv? What's the chashash? You're going to eat all night? There's no such concern. I have a sandwich. How long is it going to take to eat a sandwich? The place can say that the concern is eating makes you drowsy. That's the concern. Once you're drowsy, you might fall asleep. And therefore, that's actually expressed at the end. The Chachamim say, don't eat before Ma'ariv. And we had to bolster that with the declaration, so why? Because of the issue of sleeping. They're telling you, don't eat because of Ma'ariv, and we have to make that very strict, because a person can be overcome by sleep. In other words, Tzadik says, a person might think, 1 minute, eating is not going to make me skip Ma'ariv. Sleeping? Right now I'm not falling asleep. If I get tired, I'll deal with it then. So you have a bit of a lack of foresight. But you're figuring, no, I will deal with it. Right? It's like when my kid, you know, the kid takes, you serve a platter of cold cuts in the middle of the table, the kid takes 3/4 of it. No, you're not going to eat it all. No, I will. Afterwards, right, you see a mountain left on the plate, you eat 2 slices. So come on, I'm a little older than you. I know where things get to. Take 2 slices, you finish those, you'll take more, right? Sometimes, you need help with the foresight if you don't have it yourself. So when a person says, no, it's okay, I'll eat a meal, and I won't fall asleep. Yeah? The Chachamim said, okay, you need help with your foresight. You don't have the foresight yourself, you need help with it. And therefore, we're telling you, don't eat. Now, Tzadik says that this is, in general, a very important principle. Rav Dessler says this. Often, when you're talking about fighting the Yetzer Hara, people complain, they have a very hard time with this in this area. They spend many years fighting the Yetzer Hara, working on it, but they're just not making progress. Often the problem is an issue of foresight. You let things get to a situation where you're too deep in, when really you should have nipped it in the bud. Let me give an example instead of leaving it abstract. Fellow has a very hard time getting up for Shacharis. Okay? Every day he resolves. Okay, you know, we're already at the stage, you have to get kids to school, you don't have much of a choice, you're going to be up by a certain time no matter what. But a bacher has a hard time getting up for shacharis every day, so this time he's really going to schlep himself out of bed. But the alarm clock rings, it's just too hard to get up, hits the snooze button once, twice, and then he wakes up at 10, feels very lousy about it. Next time he's really going to get up. He's struggling, and he can't understand. He's been struggling for months. He's not managing. And the answer is, your milchemes hayetzer, your fight against the Yetzer Hara, is not at 7:30 in the morning. The fight is at 10. Right? You go to sleep at 3, and then in the morning you have a struggle with the Yetzer Hara. Then you're already lost. That's not where the struggle is. You're spending months fighting, and you're not getting anywhere. You have to identify, where is my struggle? Your struggle is at 10 o'clock. No, don't start reading the book then. Right? You have to be able to identify the struggle and tell yourself, instead of wasting months fighting on that, realize that no, really this is your struggle with the Yetzirah. Now that's hard. That's what's being brought out in the Gemara. That's hard because at 10 o'clock I'm not waking up late. At 10 o'clock I'm thinking, no, it'll be okay. I'll read the book. I'll go to sleep at 1:30. I'll manage to get up. And it's not also to go to sleep at 1:30. It's also to mizman kriya shema in the morning. Right? It's also to get up at 10 in the morning. It's not also to go to sleep at 1:30. So it's hard for me to feel that that's really where my chiyuv lies. Therefore, the Chachamim are coming and telling you very strongly, your struggle is not fighting the drowsiness that sets in after you had your challah. The struggle is realizing before you eat that you're going to run into problems. It's like there are many areas of struggle against the Yetzer Hara. You have to be able to identify where is the struggle. No, the problem is not that I'm doing such and such. Afterwards, I have to overcome. If you see that once, twice, three times you're not managing to overcome it, you have to realize that you have to have the discipline to go to sleep at 10 o'clock, and that's where your failure is. Once you went to sleep at 1, that's it. You lost the battle. You were over. You were Mevatel Zman Kriyat Shema then. You missed davening then. That's what Rav Dessler calls identifying the Nekudas HaBechira. You have to be able to identify where exactly is my Bechira. Don't miss that point. If you think about it, it's relevant to all kinds of struggles. Okay. Let's move on. We'll begin the next sugya. I'm sorry?
How does he stay quite justified?
Well, every struggle is going to be different. It's really an issue of assessing your reality. In general, Milchemes HaYetzer requires strategy. You can't just sail into battles with the Yetzer Hara. When you see you have an issue, you have to take out time, not wait for the next time to come up and say, this time I'm really going to overcome. You have to sit down, analyze the situation, study it, and try to figure out, try to plan strategy. It's impossible to give clear guidelines because it's going to be as vast as instances of struggles against the Yetzer Hara. Sorry? About one of the implications? One possible implication is actually going to be coming up in the next sugya. The fact that we say Kaddish in between Gal Yisrael and Meirut. We know that usually you're not supposed to interrupt between Gal Yisrael and Shemana Esrei. What's with Kaddish? That's why in Shachos we don't say Kaddish in between. How come in Meirut we do? The reason might be because of this. We'll see. What's that? Hashkivenu we're going to deal with in the Gemara coming. But we'll see. The truth is that the main sugi is later on. See more implications there, but there are a number of similar implications.
In terms of a person getting to a place where he's just way too tired, sometimes you can, because of illness, you're not able to dive in until maybe 11 an hour before the sugi, you should be very tired at 1 or 3 in the morning. You know, it's not safe, you can be able to get through it. But you can't, you really don't get through it.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'll.
I just wonder if that's.
Yeah. So I prefer not to answer the question honestly. Meaning, I prefer to just say no. And the bottom line answer is no. But I'm approaching this year with an attitude that let's present the full picture. There are Rishonim that say yes. There are Rishonim that say yes. That yes, you must have in Meiriv, etc., etc. But if you're pasha being overcome by sleep, in these sorts of extreme situations, you can skip it. But that is not the bottom line halacha. Bottom line halacha is that for, in this sense, Meir is an absolute chiyuv.
What about the other way, like as far as delaying it? Like sometimes you get home from a trip and you just can't have Mari, but if you lie down for half an hour, then you'll be able to maybe have the head for it to do it in a half an hour.
But only with a shema. Also that, only with a shema. Better to do it without a head.
Than to lie down
without a shema. If you have a shema, then you do that. then to lie down for a nap without a shema. Without a shema.
You wouldn't consider that honest?
What's that?
You wouldn't consider that honest if you're not capable of davening right now?
Well, again, what does not capable mean?
Can't
think of what you're saying. The truth is that it's a general problem because
as you admonish yourself to fall asleep during Shema, like you just like lose your place and you just
But again, you have to remember what the Chachamim are telling us. If you're going to lie down for that half hour nap, it might not happen without a head either. That's the problem, right? You rely on getting up. In general, it's a struggle. If put it this way, and this is something we'll see as we go later in the Masechta. If we're going to give dispensations in order to avoid davening without kavana, we're going to be giving a lot of dispensations, because many days, right? The truth is, in much earlier times, the Chachamim said, you know what? If you can't daven with proper kavana, don't daven. But the Poskim say, the Gemara already says, but that was when they had real kavana. Today, say though, how much better is he going to, Ma'ariv going to be after the nap? Okay. Oh, right. Actually, we'll stop here and begin the next sugya Tuesday, Be'ezus Hashem.